Chapter 3. Inwit, the splintering land. Cold. Dark. The night side of Inwit was a swirling black storm of pain and numbness. Out on the ice wastes, away from the baroque glory of the hives and the welcome warmth of a distant sun, there was a solemn gathering. When the Adeptus Astartes entered a system or descended upon a world, such arrivals were usually accompanied by destruction and bombast, with orbital bombardment and the descent of drop pods, with death. Not so with Inwit. The ice world hung glistening in the void, its peace left reverently undisturbed. It was an important world of the Imperium, a capital of a system cluster, a sector naval base, the assembly ground for local Astra Militarum regiments. The status of these establishments meant little to the Space Marines. What did matter was the history of the frozen world, for it had witnessed the arrival of a Primarch. Inwit had been the hallowed homeworld of Rogel Dorn. It had been appropriate, therefore, following the horrifying events on Ulanor, that the bearers of Dorn's genetic legacy should congregate on Inwit, in silence, in mourning, in unity. The Imperial Fists had been destroyed. The last of their noble number had lost his life, and with him a chapter of the First Founding had been lost to the Imperium. Only their successors remained. Each Excoriator, Crimson Fist, Black Templar, Soul Drinker, Executioner, Iron Knight, and Fist Exemplar, carrying with him all that was left of the Imperial Fists, all that was left of Dorn. So there, on the dark side of Inwit, in the flesh-searing cold, the successors of the Imperial Fists gathered to honour their fallen brethren. Without informing the planetary governor, the admiral of the fleet or the ruling Huskarls, Adeptus Astartes' frigates, made their silent and sombre approach before deploying their gunships. Using their training and knowledge of Inwit's defences, representatives of the seven successor chapters made atmospheric entry on the dark side of a planet without being detected. It was not difficult for the Space Marines, especially with every eye and auger directed at the void in expectation of the beasts coming, the rolling in of the green tide, the arrival of the apocalypse. Coming in low across the predator-stalked wilderness that was the splintering land, Thunderhawks homed in on a ritual beacon, a beacon announcing in code the impromptu inception of the Feast of Blades. As reigning champions, the Fists Exemplar had the right to announce the feast. With the Imperial Fists destroyed, and the chapter masters of the successors due to meet, Thane could think of no better way to commemorate the loss of their noble brothers. Sending for the Sword of Sebastus, the blade awarded to the chapter whose champion emerged victorious, Thane had summoned the chapter masters of the Imperial Fists successors to Inwit. Dorn had become a man there, more than a man. He had led his legion into the heresy and into the trials of the iron cage that had been waiting for them thereafter. He emerged carrying the Sword of Sebastus, a weapon that came to be known as the Dawn's Blade. It was the honour of chapters victorious in the Feast of Blades to receive the relic weapon's custodianship. With their reigning champion, Kalman Volk, lost on Idolica, Thane decided to honour all three of Volk, Chapter Master Courland, and the Dawn's Blade, by taking the champion's place himself. Thane stepped out onto the frozen floor of the arena. Without his plate, the chapter master was a rime-encrusted sculpture of scars and muscle. On this occasion, it had been decided that the combatants should fight not in power armor, but in carapace armor, as had been the tradition in ages past. In their frozen fists, each gripped a simple gladius, weapons taken from the frigate's fighting cages. While still holding an edge, the battered blades were notched and simple in design. With every member of every successor chapter needed to defend the Imperium, no one wanted to risk an accidental death. Pain had been the path of the Imperial Fists, however. They indulged their agonies in the pain glove, on their fortress battlements, and in the bloody siege-breaking assaults for which they were famous. While deaths were undesirable during any feast, the ceremony demanded that the combatants gave each other their best. That meant the brutality of bruises, sliced flesh, smashed teeth, broken bones, and sense knocked clean from skulls. Through the infliction of such pain, one battling participant upon another, each Space Marine sought to achieve communion with their brothers and their Primarch. It was snowing. Flakes sizzled on the roaring braziers that burned about the arena, their guttering flames struggling in the stormy darkness. Beneath his boots, Thane felt the ice creak. The arena had been hastily hewn from the bleak landscape of the splintered land. Black mountains rose about them on all sides, and the hollow between had been decorated with blocks of ice to create an arena of frozen angularity. While blocks were used to create obstacles within, the ice forming the arena's exterior was crowded with the silhouettes of Space Marines. The armored shapes of Crimson Fists standing with Fists Exemplar. Soul Drinkers side by side with Executioners. Iron Knights holding their own before the storm while Excoriators exchanged solemn encouragements with Black Templars. Chapter serfs and servitors of all the chapters moved about their masters, seeing to their sparse needs. Gunships idled on the terraced mountainsides, providing heat and shelter for those that needed it. Meanwhile, the icy maelstrom and perpetual darkness closed in. The Feast of Blades all but lost in the howl and bluster of Inwit's fury. Stabbing his blade into the ice, Thane knelt down and scooped up a handful of snow. Rubbing it between his palms, he washed the blood of previous opponents from his hands. Something felt broken in his left forearm. His right eye was swollen and bloodshot, while the ragged slice across his chest was knitted together with ice. All over, his flesh burned with the deep cold of the planet. Thane felt the eyes of the gathered Space Marines on him, chapter masters like Quarion and Verpal looking on with grim approval. Fists Exemplar, a cold pride thumping in their chests, champions broken and bested by the chapter master, like Stormon Valdred of the Black Templars and Morion Abomort from the ranks of the Iron Knights. Gasparian Riguez, representing the Crimson Fists, were still unconscious. Thane pulled his gladius from the chill embrace of the arena floor. It had come to this. The Excoriator, Dathan Tykor and himself, ready to smash each other into the frozen surface of dawn-blessed Inwit in honour of a fallen chapter. He felt the surrounding Space Marines feeding off the torment and expectation. They had to do something with their bottomless grief, their superhuman rage, their brotherly love. Opposite, Chapter Master Issachar was conferring with his champion. With his words stolen by the wind, Thane nonetheless saw him nod his respect through the darkness and snow. Thane nodded back as Sergeant Tykor jumped down from the ice blocks delineating the arena. As the Excoriator trudged through the snow towards him, Thane could see that the Space Marine was taller than he, and broad. His face and chest were a branching and bifurcating pattern of stapled scars, funneling in towards the ragged tissue of his right arm. The limb was missing. Instead, the flesh was fused to a heavy-duty shoulder socket and a bionic replacement for an arm. It was an old cybernetic, dented and scuffed, but the sergeant looked like he had been attached to it a long time and knew how to use it. An Excoriator called out from the surrounding crowd before throwing a blood-stained gladius through the jellied air. It flew blade over pommel across the arena. Tykor had broken his gladius in his previous battle against the Crimson Fist, Riguez. For a moment, it looked like Tykor was going to let the gladius fly by until, with a sudden movement, the champion snatched it out of the air with his bionic hand. To make matters worse, as he stood before Thane, he passed the blade from his right hand to his left, and then back again. Clearly ambidextrous, the sergeant finally settled on his left hand for the gladius, leaving the bludgeoning metal of his bionic fist free. He gave the chapter master a grim and disarming smile of confidence. "Dawn demands your best," Thane told the Excoriator. It was almost an order. "I demand it too, brother."
"You will get it," Tykor assured him. "Every swing of my blade shall honour Corland and his imperial fists. I won't disappoint you."
The mangled Excoriator lifted his blade, and with a grim nod, Thane tapped the end of his gladius against it. Taking several steps back through the snow, the two Space Marines began to circle one another. Tykor gave the chapter master the confidence of a good-natured smile frozen to his face like a mask. In return, Thane had for the excoriator the grim rawness of a bloodshot eye. He blinked as the pair of them circled, the snow swirling into his face. Within the space of that blink, Tycor had passed his blade back to the metal digits of his right hand. With the speed of his bionics, he swung for Thane. The chapter master was faster, however, and slipped straight into a powered turn. He had expected his opponent to make the most of the blinding snow and had heard the whine of the bionic servos milliseconds before the excoriator had unleashed its hydraulic fury. As he turned, Thane brought his own blade around in a clean and savage riposte. He intended to slash the edge of his weapon across the flesh of Tycor's exposed back, leaving him with another precious scar. The bionic arm came around again, however, batting Thane's blade aside with enhanced power and speed. Thane felt the force ring through the metal of his gladius, and then the gut-wrenching thud of Tycor's boot in his midriff. The chapter master grunted and stumbled back. The excoriator wasn't done with him, however. He came at Thane again, and his gladius flashed in the guttering brazier light, coming down with pneumatic certainty. Thane smashed the blade aside again and again, the broken bone in his arm throbbing with every impact. Abruptly, their swords locked, the frozen metal of the weapons sliding down each other. The blade stuck in the deep cold of Inwit's night. Thane capitalized, grabbing Tycor's hilt-clutching hands in his own. Turning, he hauled the hulking excoriator over his shoulder. The brutal throw sent the sergeant crashing into the ice. Tycor recovered quickly, rolling off his augmented shoulder and back onto his feet. Thane ran at him, jumping to one side and jabbing in with his weapon. With a shower of sparks, Tycor smashed it aside with the back of his bionic hand. The duel devolved into a sequence of merciless manoeuvres, muscular bodies arching, arms reaching, blades clashing. With a sword in his left hand, the sergeant weaved, stabbed, and slashed at Thane. The chapter master moved his own blade through a sequence of desperate deflections, turning and bringing the gladius over his head and behind him to protect his back. As the battle intensified, space marines on the surrounding ice blocks leaned in. The tip of Thane's blade nicked the excoriator above the eye, while the sergeant's own opened up the muscle on Thane's shoulder. With blood in Tycor's eyes, Thane pressed his advantage. Holding the gladius with both hands, he brought down the blade with a cleaving motion. Tycor stumbled back, holding his bionic arm up to absorb the blow. Denting the forearm's metal with a force, the chapter master aimed to repeat the maneuver, to cut through the armor and workings of the augmented limb, if he had to. The sergeant absorbed the power of the blow and, with clenched teeth, pushed against the blade, knocking Thane back. The fist exemplar's back hit an ice block situated in the middle of the arena, hard enough to leave cracks in the surface. Suddenly, Tycor was everywhere. Pinning Thane to the block with his sweeps and stabbing motions, the excoriator crowded his opponent. Thane ducked and leaned out of the path of the blade as it carved up the ice at his back. The tip of the gladius hissed into the surface of the block as a maneuver designed to skewer him through the midriff went wide. The bionic fist came in like a hammer, narrowly missing Thane's head and smashing free fragments of ice. With the pair of space marines enveloped in a cloud of ice crystals, Thane passed his gladius between his hands and turned it about. Clutching the hilt, he braced his forearm behind the blade. As the pneumatic swing of the excoriator's bionic arm came in again, Thane was ready for it. While the power behind the blow almost knocked him into the ice, the squealing, sparking edge of the blade took the impact. Coming back up off his bending knees, Thane hammered his right fist home in Tycho's stomach. It was like hitting stone, but after a second and third gut-pounding slug to the midriff, Thane forced his opponent back. With grimaces of pain and determination carved onto their frost-burnt features, Thane and Tycor fought on. Their bodies became a camouflaged pattern of red as their blood steamed and froze to their skin. As chapter masters, battle brothers, and serfs watched the titanic battle, they were forced from their positions on the block wall of the arena as the two opponents fought their way along. Thane didn't know what drove the excoriator's sergeant. He had bested chapter champions and was now holding his own against a chapter master. Thane cursed himself for such a foolish dismissal. His bruised bones and sliced flesh testified to Tycho's natural skill and battlefield experience. What were sergeants and captains, and Thane had faced both in the arena, but the masters of chapters in waiting? He could be exchanging blows with a future chapter master of the Excoriators. How could Courland have possibly known that one day he would be master of his own chapter? What had started as a noble battle of ceremony and bladework had turned into a savage brawl. Neither Exemplar nor Excoriator wanted to concede the fight, not with the spirits of their Imperial Fists brothers watching over them. The Excoriators had a reputation for indomitability, earned long ago when they still wore the legionary yellow of the Imperial Fists. They were attrition fighters in the noblest tradition, their craft learned on the walls of the Imperial Palace, defending their position against blood-crazed world-eaters and the thunder of the Iron Warriors. Thane doubted that a champion like Dathan Tykor knew how to surrender. Thane and the Excoriator slashed and pounded each other about the arena, the cold scalding them back to their senses as their bodies crashed into ice blocks and the frozen floor. Thane became aware of voices and movement from around the arena. Fist Exemplar were calling out their protestations. Excoriators were arguing with them. Ishmael Corda, the apothecary of Thane's second company, had even dropped down into the arena, ready to administer treatment. Thane slowed the thud of his hearts and allowed a hand to come up. He held an outstretched palm to his Fist Exemplar, to Apothecary Corda, and to Chapter Master Issachar, who also seemed ready to call off his champion. Taking an agonizing breath, Thane looked up at Sergeant Tycho. He could see a cold determination in his eyes, Dawn's determination. "Submit," the Excoriator said, his words an entreaty lost in the storm. "And dishonor us both," Thane returned, before the pair once again clashed frozen blades. Like the battered, blood-streaked Excoriator, Thane was at the epicenter of a galaxy of pain. In the mirror of Tycho's blade, he saw reflected the faces of the green-skin invader, hulking monsters of tusks, blood-red eyes, and alien barbarism. Each staggering blow of the bionic fist became the quake of world-shaking ordnance or the planet-tearing upheaval of gravitational weaponry. Thane's body was a field of battle, the burning agony of each wound in his freezing flesh like notations on a map. Engagements fought, and Primarchs lost. In Tycho's furious features, he thought he saw the ghost of Courland's own, the last Imperial Fist, fighting his way into a future that belonged to someone else, leading a spectral chapter, a fallen brotherhood, into eternity. Courland was not there, and neither were his Imperial Fists, only their noble successors, fighting on, honoring their name and upholding their traditions. Beneath the scorched surface of his own armor and the blue, ivory, gray, and black of his brother's plate burned the yellow of a legion unbroken. For a moment, amongst the fury of crashing blades, the crunch of snow and grunts of superhuman exertion, Thane felt the wisdom of the Primarch. Rogal Dorn, loyal, unflinching, and resolute. The shield of terror and most trusted of the Emperor's sons, Dorn, who had railed against the breaking of his mighty legion and purged his grief with battle and pain. Amongst the savage bladework and the agony of his wounds, the chapter master felt a flash of inspiration, an idea hot from the heart. From the abyssal darkness of his breast, where hope had gone to die, sprang forth a concept fully formed and burning with possibility. "Wait," Thane found himself saying, but the damage had already been done. He had become distracted, and Tycho did not waste his opportunity. The Excoriator's blade smashed Thane's from his frozen hand. Before Thane had chance to register the manoeuvre, Tycho's sword was hauled back and came thrusting for the chapter master's stomach. Thane grabbed for the sergeant's arm, and the pair fought for control of the weapon. The tip of the blade pushed on through, into the flesh of Thane's muscular side. Tycho heaved at the blade, while the chapter master held him back. The sergeant was powerfully built and burned with an indomitable will. He had brought honour to himself and his chapter in the arena. For Thane, however, there was more at stake than the honour of a single battle brother, or a thousand such. With a snarl, he powered Tycho's arm back and pulled the tip of the blade from his bleeding side. "I have something of yours," Thane told his opponent. With agonizing and incremental movements, he pressed the gladius blade back at the Excoriator. With a final thrust, Thane forced the tip of the sword into the champion's scarified flesh, between his shoulder and the fused interface of the replacement limb. Tycho roared as the blade sank through his muscle.
Have it back!
Thane didn't stop there. He twisted the gladius blade within the sergeant's flesh, drawing a howl from the excoriator. The bionic limb locked in place as the turning gladius prized its interfaces from nerve and bone. Thane threw himself around, wrenching the hilt of the impaling blade away from the sergeant. With a horrible popping of bone and interface lines, he tore the bionic limb free of its anchorage. As the metal limb crashed to the arena floor, sparking and twitching, gore spattered from the ruined shoulder. He pointed the gladius at Tycho.
Submit, brother.
Silence replied. Thane held the blade, its point dimpling the side of the champion's throat. He would not ask again. He had been right about the excoriators. The sergeant would have rather died than submitted in the arena, and Thane would need such qualities in the weeks and months to come. He had no intention of beating them out of a worthy opponent. Thane looked to Chapter Master Issachar. The excoriator was halfway into the arena with his space marines and Beaumont of the Black Templars.
Enough!
Thane said, his voice hoarse with pain and exertion. Issachar nodded. Thane tossed the gladius into the darkness of the storm and held out his hand. Blinking blood and snow from his eyes, the excoriator's champion took it. The chapter master drew the indefatigable sergeant to him with the hand clasp of a brother, and as he did so, another arena was created about them. Not of block and ice, but of flesh and honour. Chapter masters and their space marines closed in, followed by attendant serfs and servitors. They came up behind Thane and Tycho, laying cloaks of yellow loosely across their frost-burnt backs. Apothecaries moved in to tend their champion's wounds.
Then I see no reason why the honour of victory cannot be shared, Thane announced to them all.
He saw immediate discomfort in the excoriator's eyes. The sergeant's pride would never allow him to accept a victory unearned.
Shared between all the descendants of Dawn, all the worthy successors of his imperial fists. For beneath our plate, are we not all still imperial fists? Was not their blood the same as ours? The blood we have spilled at this feast, in this arena, in their memory? What are you saying?
Issachar of the excoriators asked, looking to Kuarion, Euclideus, Beaumond, Vorkogun, and Verpal, each in turn before returning his gaze to Thane.
That we should undo what has been done, said Thane. There is not a brother among us who, if he could, would not have sacrificed all to save Courland, the Imperial Fists, or the Emperor's Imperium. What if we can?
How?
Issachar pushed.
By carrying out the Primarch's wishes, Thane told them. We all know how it wounded Dorne to break his legion. The grief of it never left him. Imagine how he would have felt to see this day come to pass. Imagine what he would do now if he could have attended this feast. What he would tell us. Of course, the loss of the Imperial Fists will be remembered, will be honored by all the chapters here present. But all of the chapters here were Imperial Fists once, and could be again.
He let the idea sink home. The pain and trials of the arena battle had lent Thane clarity and some scintilla of the Primarch's wisdom. He allowed the Space Marines and their chapter masters a moment to take in the enormity and significance of what he was proposing.
The Imperium is not ready to lose a first founding chapter of the Adeptus Astartes, Thane said, let alone the Defenders of Terra. Not now. Not with a galaxy collapsing around it and an alien Armageddon to still face. And why should the people of the Imperium ever know? Why should they ever experience such fear and uncertainty? We can be their shield and protect them from these truths, just as we shall protect them from this galactic predator. Let every successor give back a little of what it took to build their honored chapters, in vessels, weapons, battle brothers, and plate. And for Dawn's sake, let that plate be painted yellow.
Thane looked around the gathering, at Verpal and Beaumont, who nodded solemnly. At Vorkogun and Euclideus, their faces set in stern approbation. At Kuarion of the Crimson Fists, who even ventured a grim smile. At Chapter Master Issachar, who strode forward to take the sword of Sebastus from the serf who had brought it forth. The sword's elegance was its simplicity. crafted from a single piece of adamantium. Its pommel was a prism, and its crossguard was stamped with the numerals 7. Its blade was polished to a mirror finish. Issachar held the weapon up before the gathered space marines. For a moment, Thane saw his battered reflection in the blade. That moment ended as Chapter Master Issachar gave the Dawn's blade to him.
"For Dawn's sake," Issachar said, "for Dawn's sake, let the best of us, victorious in the feast and brother to all of us, take his rightful place as Master of the Imperial Fists. Let his name be carved into the bones of Rogal Dorn, and let no son of Dorn speak beyond our brotherhood of this again."
With grave reverence, Maximus Thane took the offered sword of Sebastus. There were no words for such an honour, and so the Space Marine marked the moment as his Primarch would have done, with silent solemnity.
"What now, Chapter Master?"
Issachar asked finally, the storm intensifying about them. "Now
we return to Terra," Thane said, in syllables of steel, "to gather our strength. For the Imperial Fists and their successors go to a war the like of which we have never seen." "And what of the mistakes of the past?" Issachar asked, "and of history repeated?" "As our brotherhood has come together," Thane said, "so must humanity. Send for your epistolary. I need to send word to Terra. I must speak with the High Lords." "And you think that they will listen?"
Issachar said.
"No,"
Thane admitted,
"but that is because we do not speak their language. We need political animals, men of leverage and influence who do. If we are to open closed minds and release our full potential, then we are going to need a hammer and a pry bar."
"Who do you have in mind?"
Issachar asked. The Chapter Master of the Imperial Fists considered.
"We must contact Kubik, the Fabricator General," Thane said at last. "And Grand Master Vangorich,"